Today's daf is Nida daf Zayin. We're going to start five lines from the bottom at Vav Amud Bet, Tnan Hatam. Now we're quoting a Mishnah from Masechet Chala. We're going to kind of get off topic and come back. We got here because if you recall, we ended with Kibla Minei Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak B'chulin Shenasu Al Taharat HaKodesh V'lo B'chulin Shenasu Al Taharat HaTruma. Because he mentioned this issue of chulin that can be done, treated like truma, and you distinguished it from kodesh, although that's not the reason why we're bringing it. We're going to now bring up something that ultimately we're going to compare it to chulin shenasu al taharat truma, and we'll get back to that. Again, what does that mean? That means regular items that weren't truma or sanctified items, but people treated them as if they were. There was this whole, right, people who tried to kind of keep dina truma v'tahara even when they were no longer relevant or in cases where they weren't relevant. Tanan Hatam. So it says in the Mishnah, now we're going to go to an issue about challah. Challah is just like truma. It's got the same status, right? We make a dough and we take a part and we give it to the Kohen. So if you have an issue, again, it has to be just like truma, it has to stay tahor, pure. You're not allowed to impurify, right? Then you have to burn it if you do. No la la, that's why we burn it, by the way, nowadays, right? That's why we burn the challah, because It's where all tmeim. No la la safek tumah. If it had a safek situation arise that maybe the dough became tameh. Ad shelo gilgila, if it's before you kneaded the dough, te'aseh b'tumah. At this point, there's no challah yet, right? There's nothing sanctified about it. It's just a regular dough. It's true, it needs to be taken. Challah needs to be taken. But since it's an early stage before you can even take the challah, because you can't take challah until you've kneaded the dough, therefore it's so far removed from challah yet that any sefek tumah situation, you're allowed to just continue and you can put it into tameh kelim now because there's no, it's not, it doesn't have to be treated b'tahara. But Mishal Gilgila, if after you needed it, all of a sudden there was a suffix about whether it became Tameh from that stage, Te'aseh b'tahara. You have to now treat it, you have to keep it in Tahor Kelim. Why? Because maybe it's not Tameh.
But if it turns out that it was Tameh.
So we'll see. Well, we don't know. What about your Kelim? No, so Tameh food doesn't mess up Kelim. So you don't have to worry about it. So what you have to do is, if it's tameh, so then it's tameh. If it's tahor, then you have to treat it b'tahara. Again, the earlier case, you don't, because the earlier case, it wasn't even kodesh yet, any kind of, didn't have any sanctity to it. But once you need it now, it's not exactly challah yet either. This is what we call in truma maser world, tevel, right? You haven't yet taken, but you're supposed to take. So at this point, once you kneaded the dough, then a suffix tumah situation arises, you treat it b'tahara, ad shelo, okay, period. Now they're going to explain. Ad shelo gilgala te'aseh b'tumah, why? Chulin ninu. They're clearly chulin. This is what I explained. Umutar ligrom tumah l'chulin sheb Eretz Yisrael. And you can create, you can take chulin and treat it b'tumah, even if, let's say, it is tahor, in Eretz Yisrael, what they mean here, even in Eretz Yisrael, okay? Because the halachot of all these things are more chamor in Eretz Yisrael, right? Challah we do in Chutz Laaretz also, but it's got a more chamor halacha, more stringent halacha, right? The real halacha comes from Eretz Yisrael. It's vodvat liyot ba'aretz. Misha gilgila, but once you needed it, te'aseh b'tahara, why? Now comes the big line. Chulin hatvulin lechala. Chulin that are already considered tevel for challah, meaning you need to take challah at this point. Kechala damu. It's as if you've taken challah and they have sanctity to it. Ba'asur ligrom tumah l'challah. And since you can't, right, since there's a possible track that it's tahor, and therefore it might really be challah that's tahor, therefore you can't create a tumah situation to challah. Since it's only a suffix, we have to treat it b'tahara. Okay, Tana. Now there's a braita on this that says it's a toseftim challah. It talks about this, and what does it say? Well, what if it's tameh, right? So you said, what about the kelim? That's not an issue, but bechalata tzluya. Okay, but now the challah is left hanging. Lo ochlin velo sorfim. Because it's safek, so you can't eat it, but you also can't burn it. Now, they continue to say, be'ezo safek amru. What type of safek are we referring to? Be'safek challah. Okay, what kind of sefek tuma situation? A sefek chala. Okay, that didn't really help us. So, continues and asks, my sefek chala. So now they ask about this tosefta. Well, what was the tosefta referring to? And it said, what sefek? A sefek chala. So Abai Virava de Amru Travayhu, they both said, right? Sometimes they argue, but once in a while they say things, they agree about something. Shelo tomar behochachot shaninu. We're not talking about a tuma situation. Okay, hochachot, this word hochachot is a little unclear what it means. Okay, Rashi says, b'safek tuma muchachat. Okay, don't know exactly how to translate that, but the best translation I saw was safek tuma that's equal on both sides. Okay, what's a safek tuma that's equal on both sides? Like shnei shvilim. Remember that classic case? There's one path that's tameh, one path that's tahur. Someone passed, right? They passed something through. And right, it's tuma meit. So if you walk on the path, you'll become tameh. If you walk over the dead body, because tuma ole rashamayim when it's not in a noel. So you walked on a path. You're not sure whether you took the tameh path or the tahor path. So that now generally is a bit of a problem because they're going to say right dahatam chulin grei danami mitamu. In other words, there even chulin would become tameh. Okay, it's a little weird because we always set the shnei shvilim case sefek tuma bereshit harabim is tahor and not tameh. So there's a bit of a question asked about that. Maybe they mean bereshit yachid. Okay, but they're saying, let's ignore that element for right now and go with what they seem to be saying, which is there, it's kind of like either you went on tahor or you went on tameh. So it's what we call shakul, like even on both sides, right? 50% chance this, 50% chance that, as opposed to what we're going to see something else. Okay, so first let's go back again. So now, what does this have to do with anything? He says, Abai and Rabbah say the Sefik Chala situation is not like a Shnei Shvilim case, where either it became Tahor, right? Either it went this way and that way would have meant it's Tameh. Again, it's not talking about the Chala went on two paths, right? It's just saying something like that. Why not? Because they're Chulin Grei Danami Matamu. We have to find a case where Dafka, because it's Tevel, that, in other words, Tuma, okay, let's backtrack. Tumin Tara affect Chulin and Kodshim, remember? It's just that in certain situations, it's only going to be relevant to Truma, okay? Like certain Chumras or certain things. So they're going to say, in that case, where it's either 50% this, 50% that, we're going to basically say, that would be Mitama even Chulin. So you wouldn't need this particular situation to tell us, only once you needed the dough and it's got potential to be Chala, we're going to consider it Chala. Because and only then it will be tameh, because you know our sefek we're going to treat it as if it's tameh, because it would have been true for chulin also. So therefore, what must be the case? What type of sefek? That's why they said b'sefek chala, a sefek that's only relevant to chala. What would be a sefek only relevant to chala? Ela b'nishan, if you lean on something. Okay, what's this? Ditnan, as it says in the Mishnah, is a Mishnah in Zavim. Zav v'tahor. Okay, you have a person who's a zav and a person who's pure. So the zav is tameh, the tahor is tahor. Shahayu porkin min hachamor o toanim. They were either unloading from a donkey or loading something onto a donkey. Bizman shemasa'an kaved, tameh. The tahor person becomes tameh if it was a very heavy load that they were putting on. You'll see why in a minute. Misa'an kal, but if the light was load, tahor. The load was light. Thank you. If the load was light, then he stays pure. Why is that? Because if they're carrying something heavy, there's a concern that maybe the Zav leaned on him. Now, why is leaning a problem? Well, leaning is a problem because theoretically, anything a Zav moves is a problem. So if he leans on you, maybe he moved you a little bit. So if you're carrying something very heavy, there's more of a likelihood that one leaned on the other to kind of support it. It's very light, then it's likely you didn't lean on each other. So therefore, this kind of sefek, notice this isn't like 50-50, okay? This is like a maybe he leaned on you, and if he leaned on you, you know, it's not even real tumat hesed, because tumat hesed is usually, you know, you push something aside and it moves. You know, you didn't touch it, but it moved because you knocked something that knocked something else. So we're going to say that maybe, you know, there's some sort of sefek. That's the type of sefek we're talking about, a nishan sefek. There may be something leaned on it and maybe moved it. Okay, now, what else does it say about this zav and tahor? Tahorin livnei hakneset. Okay, they're tahorin. This is if, okay, who are the B'nai HaKnesset? These are the people that ate chulin al taharat truma, or al taharat HaKodesh. And in this case, if you were concerned something like this would happen, we don't treat it, it's tahorim. Okay, so if you were, you had chulin, and there was a concern that maybe something pushed it, then, you know, maybe something leaned on it, like the zavin tahor, no, you would be tahor. There's no issue here.
They're basically saying it's a small enough likelihood that it's not worth.
Right, and it's not, right, and the whole thing is it's only chulin that you're treating like, so we're not machmir in that case. Utmein litruma, okay, but they are tmein for truma. Okay, and then they say, v'chulin hatvulin l'chala k'chala damu. Okay, and tchulin that are tchulin l'chala are like chala, okay, and therefore they be tmeim in this kind of case. Because what do we say? In a case of chulin shenasu al taharat truma, we're not going to be machmir in a nishan. But in this kind of nishan, we will be, okay? So therefore they're going to say, since it said sepek chala, we have to find a case where a sepek would only be relating to chala, and that's what they mean, a case like nishan. So now they raise a question. V'ha tnan, doesn't it say in the following Mishnah, a Mishnah in Tful Yom, isha shehi tfulat yom. Okay, first let's talk about a tful yom. That's someone who goes to the mikveh in the morning, but is waiting for the nighttime for tzeda kochavim, right, three stars to come out in order to become actually fully tahor. Now a person like that is mitame like a sheni, okay? Because they've already gone to the mikveh, but they're not fully pure. So what does it mean they're mitame like a sheni? They can only, anything they come in contact with could become a shlishi, but that's only truma or kudshim, because remember, there is no shlishi by chulin. So ishashi tfulat yom, lasha etaisa. So now she wants to make challah. How does she do that? Okay, we have a bit of a problem. If she, challah is like truma, she can't touch it, because her hands will be metame, the challah. So what does she do? Lasha etaisa, vikotsai mena chalata. She needs the dough. She separates challah, but she doesn't yet call it challah. Okay? She doesn't name it. Right? Normally, what do? We take it and we say, right, this is challah. We make a bracha on the challah. She doesn't do that yet. Uminichata bikfisha o be'anchuta. Okay, she puts it in some sort of kli that's not makabel tuma. There's a bunch of different interpretations. Is it a wooden, flat, right? The pshute kli eitz and pshute kli or, flat kelim that are made of wood or made of leather are not makabel tuma. Okay, so she puts it in something that can't become impure, so that her challah doesn't become impure. Umakefet. And then what does she do? Okay, if you know this, if you make, let's say, two batches of dough and you want to take challah on both together, you have to put them right next to each other. You have to kind of attach them. Okay, so this is what she does. She attaches it to, okay, so she now has the challah in one dish that she separated, but she didn't call it challah yet. The rest of her dough in another dish. She puts them right alongside each other. Vikorei lashem. And now she calls it truma without touching it. You follow? So she already separated it. She touched it, even though she was a tful yom, and theoretically she should mess up her challah, but she didn't yet call it challah, so it was okay. So now, korei lashem, mipnei shehu shlishi, ushlishi tahor b'chulin. Right, so this is because it's, right, because the challah is a shlishi, right, and shlishi is tahor b'chulin. Okay, so the dough is a shlishi. In other words, the dough is no longer a problem because the dough is a shlishi. And the dough beforehand, when she touched it, now we're going back to, right, when she touched the dough, it was a shlishi. And there, in other words, she's only mitame a shlishi, and the dough is totally fine. This is just explaining what we kind of already knew, which is why she was allowed to do this and touch the dough, even though it potentially had challah. Now, this seems to go against what we said, because Iyamart, chulin hatfulin l'chala kechala damu, right? If we said, like what we said before, which is once she needs the dough, it's potentially, because it's already chayav and chala, it already has a din of chala, then she shouldn't be allowed to take chala from here because it's already got the status of chala. V'hai tful yom kevan de lo metame v'adai chulin Okay, so sorry, one second. I think I just skipped. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she already was mitame by touching the challah. Right? So again, this goes back to what we said before, which is challah hatfula l'chulin, or whatever, bread, dough, that's tfulin l'chala, chulin. That was the word I missed. Chulin, that are tfulin l'chala, that are meant to be, right? That you can already take chala, we said are totally fine. And here we see, before we said it's like chala, and therefore, theoretically, this tful yom shouldn't be allowed to touch this dough. Okay? So, now they're going to ask that question. Amar Abaye, here he comes to explain. Kol shevadai mitame chulin gazru al sveiko mishum chulin hatfulin lechala. V'hai tful yom kevan de lo mitame vadai chulin lo gazru alav mishum chulin hatfulin lechala. Okay, now we get to this big complicated line. It sounds complicated. It's not so complicated. If you're going to be vadai mitame chulin, like, okay, let's take the second part actually. Let's start with the tful yom. The tful yom is not mitame chulin in a vadai case, right? And as we have two things. The tful yom is a vadai case. Our other case was a suffik case where she was rolling the dough. That's where we started. There was a suffik tuma situation on this chulin hatfulin lachala. And we say suffik tuma, right? We're going to be machmir here because it's treated like chala. So let's start with the vadai. If it's vadai mitame chulin, then, okay, like the, so the tful yom is not mitame vadai, okay? And therefore, if she's mitame vada if she touches truma, but not if she touches chulin. So in that case, we're not gozer on chulin that are tfulin lechala, in a sefik case, or even in a vada case. Whereas in the first case, we're going to say whatever it was that was mitame, right? If it was vada, it's a sefik case, we don't know. But if it's vada mitame chulin, because remember, there we were talking about something came in contact with the truma, but it could have been something tame that could have messed up chulin also, whatever it was. So therefore, if it were vada, it would be mitame chulin. Therefore, they were gozer on the safek mishum chulin at chulin lechala. Therefore, they were gozer in a chulin case where it was you were chayv and chala already. There, okay. So we're basically distinguishing between tful yom, which can never mess up chulin, versus a case where you could have messed up chulin. In this case, we don't know if you did because it was a sefek, but we're going to say, because it's already tefulin l'chala, we're going to say we're machmir on it. Okay, so they basically say, the tefulin yom is totally different. You're comparing apples and oranges. Now they say, okay, so if you're going to say that, klal, well, I have a question on that. Finally, we get back to our topic. It took us a while. V'ham me'ed le'ed shebinida. Okay, what's a me'ed le'ed shebinida? Okay, right? We already know this. This is a woman who sees blood. She has to go back retroactively 24 hours. Any taro she touches are problematic. Shev divadai mitame chulin. Okay, anida can be mitame chulin also, right? Not just tarot. So she is vadai mitame chulin. Now, lo gazru al sveka mishum tfulin chulin hatfulin lechala. Okay? But we're not gozer on her suffix in cases of chulin hatfulin lechala. How do we know this? Da'amar mar. Okay, now we're going to make a little bit of a jump because we didn't really talk about chulin tfulin lechala. Okay? Right now, right, there's two things. There's chulin tfulin lechala. Okay? Until now, we've said it's like chala. Now, if you say that, what was our klal? We just said if it's vadai mitame chulin, which the eight le'eight is vadai, right? She's vadai mitame chulin. Okay? Now, in other words, it's not really. It's the topic is nida. Anida is vada mitame chulin. Her sefek is the eight la'eit. Okay, now what would we say then? Her sefek, we should be machmir. Okay? On chulin, right? Tfulin lechala. Right? That's what we would say according to what we said. And we're now going to say, we're not mitame chulin tfulin lechala, but that's not really what they're going to say. They're going to substitute, instead of chulin tfulin lechala, something that they think is just like tfulin chulin. Okay, chulin tfulin lechala. They're going to say, how do we know they weren't gozer her sefek mishum chulin tfulin lechala? Damar mar. And here goes our last statement from yesterday. Kibla minei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. By the way, kibla minei yesterday I said was he had a masoret. when I looked in Rashi after, he says he accepted the question of Rav Nachman and then he answered it. It wasn't necessarily Yad HaMasoret. Anyway, I'm not sure if others explain the Yad HaMasoret, but either way, what it doesn't really matter which way we go. But Qibla, I mean, it matters in some kind of realm, but for the purposes of what we're doing right now, we'll continue. Qibla minei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, bechulin shenasu al taharat ha-kodesh, velo bechulin shenasu al taharat ha-trumah. What does he say? It's not relevant to chulin that people treated like truma. What he's basically saying is, chulin that are ready to be makrish challah from them would be theoretically in the same category as chulin that people treated like truma. Okay? It's not exactly the same thing, because one actually has real truma in it, right? It has real challah in it. If we use, like, it's easier if we use the term truma in both, right? Because challah is a type of truma. So chulin atfulin l'challah has truma in it. It's just you haven't yet designated it as truma. Chulin shenasu al taharat ha-trumas, we're treating it like truma, even though it's not actually truma. So you can see that each one kind of has a weakness, right? The chulin shenasu al taharat ha-trumas is a weaker truma because it's not actually truma. It's just we treat it like truma. The chulin atfulin l'challah is not actually truma. It's just going to become truma. So therefore, they're equating them right now. And what they say very simply is, well, if a nida, her vada is matame, and her suffix is not matame in chulin shenasu al taharat ha-trumah, then her suffix shouldn't be matame in chulin atfulin l'challah either, and then that would go against the klal that we established. So they're going to answer the obvious answer, which is you're comparing apples and oranges. Chulin shenasu al taharat ha-trumah are not the same as chulin tefulin l'challah. What's the big difference? Hatam lo pticha b'hu truma. The chulin shenasu al taharat ha-trumah doesn't actually have real truma in it. But hacha pticha. But chulin tefulin l'challah is kind of a combination, even though you haven't designated the challah yet, but it's a combination of challah and non, right, and chulin. So it already has truma mixed up in it. It's different. That's one answer. So hacha pticha b'hu truma, this has it mixed in. V'ibay deima, a second explanation is, why are we mekel in the nida case, right? That theoretically on chulin shenasu al taharat ha-trumah, and therefore also, okay, the second answer is going to assume they are equated, and we'd be mekel on her chulin atfulin l'challah, that if she needed the dough, it would be fine. So hanach me'ed le'ed d'rabanan, because the whole halacha of me'ed le'ed is a halacha, it's just exerit d'rabanan. It's not, what did we call it before? We called it a sefik. But it's not really a suffix. We know that we're not really worried that she saw blood before. It's just, we already saw this already. The rabbis made a gzera in this case. Because they made a gzera, we can say, well, they made a gzera. They just didn't make the gzera. And in the chulin, it's full of l'chala, but it's not like a classic suffix case. Okay. New Mishnah. Okay, this is going to be, there's a lot of really interesting things here. Okay, before I start, we're going to talk about the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. You need some background on Rabbi Eliezer. If you remember, who was he? Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. He was the one who got into the big machlok in Tana Rosh Halachnai with the rabbis, got into a big fight with them, right? He stuck to his opinion very strongly. He said, you know, God will prove, right? And then first he says the walls of the Beit Midrash, this, right? He gives all these simanim, and they all happen. And then he even says a bat kol will come down, and a bat kol came down, so I left Rabbi Eliezer, and, you know, they said, sorry, but, you know, we have our system. We all disagree with you, and we can't see your way. And basically, and he stood by his opinion and didn't defer to the rabbis in the end. And because of that, they put him in Nidoy, right? They excommunicated him, and it was a big deal. Okay, so that's the Rabbi Eliezer that we're referring to here. So, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Arba Nashin Dayan Shatan. We already saw reference to this earlier, right? So again, we have our Mishnah. Now, first of all, there's some interesting things here. I got access to a book that's about to be printed on Nida from Mishnah Eretz Yisrael. So I'm going to quote a few things from there mixed in with what I'm saying. Which we've used way back. We haven't had, they didn't have volumes for a lot of the stuff. Now they just came, it's coming out very soon on Nida. So they talk there about that there's levels of what happened here. We start with Shammai and Hillel historically, right? They're much, much earlier. And then we have Chachamim who come in the Mishnah, right? So Shammai says Dayan Shatan. Hillel says Bedika. Right? Chachamim say either Bedika or 24 hours. Then this next Mishnah seems to be interpretive of Shammai's opinion. Now, one thing that was also noted by Elazar ben Hyrcanus is that he followed Shammai. We're going to see later, they call him a Shamuti. Shamuti can either be one of two things. Shamte is another word for excommunication. So Shimute could be he was excommunicated. Shimute could also be he holds like Shammai, Beit Shammai. And we don't hold like Beit Shammai. Okay? Now, there seems to be, so what they claim is there's an interpretive, you know, a later layer in the generation of Yavneh, and we're already past Korban now, about when he said Dayan Shatan, all of a sudden we're going to have different interpretations. Elazar says he only meant for four women. Okay, and it's taking Shammai, but limiting it. Not all women, but only four. Betula, Me'uberet, Minikaus, Kena, right? We already said Betula, we're going to see, means really someone who's never gotten their period before. Me'uberet, pregnant, Minika, nursing, Kena, menopausal. Or postmenopausal. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, ani lo shamati ela betula. Comes Rabbi Yoshua and he narrows it even further. In other words, theoretically, this could be, within Shammai's opinion, we're just narrowing it. We agree there's some sort of element of dayashata. It's just not for all women. It's not even for four women, according to Rabbi Yoshua. It's only for a betula. Aval, but he says like this. So first he says, notice his wording, I only heard it by a betula. Aval halacha ke Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, but the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, meaning I only heard it this way, but we pass on like Rabbi Eliezer. Ezohi betula. Okay, now what's a betula? We're now having, okay, so what are the terminology, what's the definition of the terms we used earlier? Kol shelo ra'ata dam yameha. Okay, it's not a virgin, it's just someone who's never seen blood. Af al pi shenisua, even if she's married and she's no longer a betula, right? You would have thought the opposite. In their world, theoretically, betulot, right? You would have thought, oh, most betulot already have their periods even, right? They're usually, that happens at a later stage that they lose their virginity. But here they're saying she theoretically could not be a betula, right? Think about their world. Girls got married very young and yet not yet had her period, right? Crazy to think about. Me'uberet, mi sheyodea ubara. Okay, once it's known that she's pregnant. Okay, this is very interesting, right? Notice what they don't say. Right. Let's say, especially if we talked about Hargashan, how women those days maybe were more in tune with their bodies. Theoretically, a lot of women know they're pregnant from the beginning, right? They miss a period, okay, maybe that's not proof enough, but then they start feeling sick and other bodily simanim that they're pregnant. But here we need some sort of outside, okay, mishiyodea ubara, they generally understand to mean when she's 3 months pregnant, they show it in the Torah from Tamar, right, v'ahikim shalosh chodashim, and there's actually a really interesting machloket in halacha nowadays, which is there's all sorts of halachot, like for example, okay, again, I'm jumping the gun on things we're going to learn later, but you're supposed to do bidikot every, right, you're supposed to check if you get your period every, the day of the Hebrew month, and you know, there's all sorts of things you're supposed to do on a regular basis. Let's say you don't get your period. So are you still supposed to check the month after? Let's say you're pregnant. So there's a machloket about whether we go by 3 months or do we say, if you took, nowadays we have pregnancy tests, which they didn't have in those days, and if you have a positive pregnancy test or a positive blood test, and you know, is that enough? So it's interesting, right? So in other, the question is, what does it mean, mishayodea ubara, and why are they using outside signs? I was thinking maybe it's like you need idut somehow. You might know it inside, but you have no way of proving it to anybody. Yeah, you say I'm vomiting, I'm this, but you know, that could be from something else. So they need proof, right? Some sort of proof. Well, people start seeing that you're showing, which usually happens at 3 months. Minika. Again, it's interesting, the rabbis discussing all these things that are going on in women's bodies. You know, maybe it was also their perspective. Well, we don't know you're pregnant, right? Until we see you. We're not women, we don't understand. Minika, achitigmolet bina. Okay, minika is once she stops nursing. Nitana bina la minika. Gimalto omet. So what if she gave her son to someone, a nursemaid, or she stopped nursing, or the baby died? Rabbi Meir Omer, mitama me'et leit. Okay, at that point she reverts back to being a regular woman. The Chachamim omrim dayashata. He says, no, she's still considered minika. This is an interesting halacha. This comes up a lot also in different halachic issues. that mini coat are considered mini coat, even if they're not nursing for 24 months after childbirth. I'll give you a good example, like fasting, right? Exactly. That women, at 24 months after childbirth, this assumption is your body hasn't returned back to what it was before, and therefore, and maybe that is kind of sensitivity of the rabbis, I think many women might agree with that, maybe not everybody, and therefore you're still considered a mini cow, okay? So there's machlok Rabbi Meir v'Chachamim. We actually paskan like Chachamim. Okay, so even if you have regular periods, I got a question just the other day from someone who already had like 4 regular periods 5 months after birth, you know, very regular, but according to this, she'd still be dayashata, okay, because she's within 24 months. Ezo hiskena kol shavua la shalosh onot samuch l'ziknata. 3 times that she's already older and she doesn't get her period 3 months in a row. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kol isha shavua la shalosh onot dayashata. He says not just samuch l'ziknata. Any woman who doesn't see 3 months straight is already considered very irregular, and she no longer has halacha of retroactive bleed, right, that we go backwards. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mu'uberet u'minika shavru alehen shalosh onot, dayan shatan. This is a really interesting halacha. I'm not sure the mu'uberet I understand. He basically says it needs 3 months to pass without getting your period in order to be dayan shatan. So it's kind of similar to Mishu Krau Bara, but he says it very specifically. You have to miss your period 3 times. The other thing he said, which actually would add an extra month, because right, you're considered pregnant from the time of your last period. So he would basically say you need to miss 3 periods. Actually add another month. But a minika is very strange. He says you have to, when you start nursing, you'd have to, right, so basically after childbirth, you'd have to miss three regular periods. You'd have to, the whole beginning time, which you would think doesn't make any sense, you'd have to wait 3 onot in order to be considered dayan shatan. With the logic of his logic is that basically every woman needs, right, other than the bitula, who can't have 3 onot, past doesn't have an onot, she doesn't have a regular time she sees, but all the other women, in order to establish it, you need a chazaka, that you don't see blood. So you'd have to have 3 months straight without seeing blood, and then you can be determined that this is your status. Okay, you see here that there's a lot of different opinions about all these things. Uba me amru dayashata. Okay, it should be amru. And in what case did they say dayashata? Biriya rishona. Ava bishnia mitama me'ed leid. Okay, so here we're talking about a bitula or a mu'uberet or a skina. She's dayashata the first time after, let's say, she establishes 3 times. But bashnia, if she already then she starts bleeding again, she goes back to Me'ed Leid. The Imra'ata HaRishona Me'ones, this is one of those interesting cases of the rabbis, which I wonder whether there's really such a thing or not, and it's going to come up a bunch of times, that a woman could theoretically see from Ones. Okay, what does that mean? Generally, they say she jumped, and by jumping, the Me'iri adds maybe she got shocked from something, and out of shock she started bleeding. The rabbis believe that there were all sorts of things. Now, it's true that there are, right, people sometimes when they're very stressed, it brings on their period earlier or something. So it could be that's what they're referring to. It sounds more like they're referring to some physical act, and they think, oh no, the Me'iri actually, I think he said if she fell, right, if she fell and then started bleeding. Now, obviously it doesn't mean blood from the fall, but he means that somehow the fall could have caused the woman to start getting her period. Whether this is actually true and there's evidence to it, I'm not really sure. It sounds to me a little out there. But if the first time she saw is me'ones, afashniya dayashata. So if this woman, let's say, is his kina, she stops getting her period, right? That's a classic example. She stops and then she starts again. So if she starts again, she goes back to me'ed leid. But that's only if when she saw the first, and then she has to see 1 time, and then the next time we'll say she's me'ed leid. So it's only if that first time was irregular and not that she did some physical act that caused, or some mental act that caused the period to come upon her. Okay, Tanya. Brayta, now the Gemara starts off with a Brayta. I think this actually might be in the Tosefta, I forget. But Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer lo Rabbi Yeshua. Now we're going to, if you remember, what did we have? We now go back to the beginning. Rabbi Eliezer said there's 4 Nashim Dayan Shatan. And Rabbi Yeshua said, I only heard about a Betula. So now we're going to have a discussion between them. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer lo Rabbi Yeshua. Ata lo shamata, ani shamati. You didn't hear, but I heard. Ata lo shamata el echat. You only heard about one. Vani shamati harbe. And here comes his big, you could say insult or something. He says, "Ein omrim lemi shelo ra'a at ha'chodesh yavo v'ya'id." Okay, apropos, it's Rosh Chodesh today. How did they determine Rosh Chodesh? Edim will come forward and say, we saw the new moon, right? What if nobody comes, right? Today we're on the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So a month like this where nobody came the first night, right, after the first night and said, I saw the new moon on the night of the 29th, and therefore, or the night after the 29th, and therefore they determined the 30th is Rosh Chodesh. Then they would basically, right, they would know it was the next day. But you don't say... They never say Edim should come on the morning of the 30th and say, we did not see the new moon. And nobody comes forward and says, I didn't see something. Ela lemisharaau. Right? Only who should testify? If you saw it, you testify. So what are you testifying? I only heard one. If he said, I only heard one, and he said, well, I heard all four. Okay, so you just didn't hear. That's not a proof that you're right and I'm wrong. Okay, so he has a good argument. Well, kol yamav sheRabbi Eliezer hayu osin kRabbi Yoshua. Okay, despite that, all the time that Rabbi Eliezer was alive, they held like Rabbi Yoshua. La'char p'tirato sheRabbi Eliezer hichzir et hadavar liyoshno kRabbi Eliezer, kRabbi Eliezer. Okay, right, kRabbi Eliezer. Period. Okay, so I'm going to read this in two different ways. Okay, and this is also based on what I read in the book Mishnah Eretz Yisrael. The way the simple reading and the way the Bavli reads this is all the days of his life, right? Basically, they passed on like Rabbi Yoshua. And when he died, Rabbi Yoshua returned it. Now, here's something weird. Liyoshno. Liyoshno sounds like the way it was from the beginning, like Kir Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? They suggest an alternate reading, which is Hichzir Rabbi Yoshua Tadavar Liyoshno is the way Rabbi Yoshua had it. Okay? And then they're telling you, the Tosefta then says, well, but halacha is kRabbi Eliezer. In other words, Rabbi Yoshua wanted to institute it like him, but the Tosefta is possibly like Rabbi Eliezer, but that's one possible reading of it, okay? But the other way to read it is like the Bavli and the Yerushalmi read it, okay? And the Yerushalmi, they're going to give a particular reason as to why it doesn't appear in the Bavli, so I'll mention it later when we get to the answer. So now they're going to say, b'chayav my time alo, why in his life didn't he paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? Mishum de Rabbi Eliezer shamutihu. Okay, according to the Bavli, the reason is he's a shamuti. Like I said, either he holds like Beit Shammai and we don't hold that way, or he was excommunicated. And because of that, we couldn't hold like him. According to the Yerushalmi, he was convinced by the tzidkat drachav of, you know, by the righteous ways of Rabbi Eliezer, and decided to paskin like him. Which shows, in other words, there's a bit of an issue here. If we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, how did he switch it to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? So they say this was an issue of the rules of machlokot and how we paskin, how interrelations between rabbis, that out of respect for Rabbi Eliezer, he paskin like him. Okay, but interestingly enough, he did it out of respect only after his death, which is interesting, right? And he couldn't do it during his life, according to the Bavli, because either, right, he didn't want people to think, okay, now what's the issue? If he's really like Beit Shammai, so why do we hold like him? But it's obvious here, because in this case, we hold like him because he had the real Masoret. He knew that it was all these, that there were, you know, there were four things, and Rabbi Yeshua was really wrong, because not that he was wrong, it's just he only heard one. So, but he was worried that if we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, everyone's going to think that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in general, like Beit Shammai in general, and therefore we can't do that. Or, again, because he was excommunicated, that makes more sense why after his death then they changed it, because he was no longer alive and there was no more excommunication. Visavar, here we're going to see it, exactly as I said a second ago, I avdinan kavate b'chada, if we go like him in this way, avdinan kavate b'chrenata, we're going to hold like him in other cases. Umishum dechvodo de Rabbi Eliezer, lo metzina b'china b'hu, right, because of his kavod, they didn't want to go against him, and therefore, lachar p'tirato to Rabbi Eliezer, oh, one second. In his life, right, Mishum Kvodo de Rabbi Eliezer, lo matzina machinam behu. If people started following Rabbi Eliezer while he was still alive, this is the difference, okay? This is what they're going to explain. If we're worried that people are going to hold like him and he's a Beit Shammai, okay, either because he's a Nidu or because he's like Beit Shammai, but if people are starting to go like him and then we tell them, oh no, we don't, well, that's embarrassing to Rabbi Eliezer. So they waited till he was dead, lachar p'tirato shel Rabbi Eliezer, to matzina machinam behu, they could. Then hechzir et hadavar liyoshno. Okay, so that's how the Bavli understands it. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel halacha kRabbi Eliezer ba'arba. Okay, now he says we actually pascan like Rabbi Eliezer in four situations. Okay, we're now going to have a list of all these four. Chada damaran, one like this. Ve'idach. Okay, now we're going to have four different sugyo. One is ours. Now, second one. Hamaksha kama tashpeh v'tehe zava. If a woman starts maksha or mekasha, means she starts having labor pains and she starts bleeding and she bleeds for 3 days. Then she stops bleeding and her contractions stop, let's say, no more bleeding. And then she gives birth, let's say, you know, a day, 2, 3 days later. Now, she bled for 3 days before. Now, if they were zava days, then theoretically she'd be a zava and she'd have to wait shiva nekiim. So when after the baby's born, generally what would happen, she would bleed, bleed, and then she would, remember, 7 days if she gave birth to a boy, 14 days if she gave birth to a girl, no need for clean days. But if these 3 days of bleeding were considered zava blood, then she'd have to wait the 7 clean days after childbirth. So therefore, it's very important to determine those 3 days, were they bleeding of a yoledet, or were they bleeding of zava? Meaning, all it means is it wasn't a yoledet. Okay? So, if it wasn't from the leida, so how much time has to pass when you're having this bleeding for 3 days and then you stop bleeding? How much time do you have to stop bleeding before the baby's born for us to say that she's now got to be machmir like a zava? So they say me'eit leit to Rabbi Eliezer, 24 hours. If there was a break of 24 hours before she then went back into labor, then, or again, was bleeding because of labor, then we'd say that's zava blood. V'halacha kitvarav. Okay? And the halacha is like him. That's another case. V'idach, another case. Hazava, hazava, shabat kuatzman. This is a very important machloket for bidikot in general of the 7 clean days that we do nowadays. Hazava, hazava, shabat kuatzman, yom rishon, umatzu tahor, yom shvi, umatzu tahor, ushar yamim lo batku. Rabbi Eliezer omer, hare elu b'chazkat tahara. Okay? You're supposed to, theoretically, hazava and hazava are supposed to have 7 clean days. They're supposed to check every day of the 7 clean days. What if they only check the first day and the last day? So Rabbi Eliezer says, that's fine. Okay, b'di'evet. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, ein lehem ela yom rishon v'yom shvi'i bovat. He says, only the 2 days they check count, and they, what does she have to do? She has to fill in the 5 middle days and count another 5 clean days after that. Rabbi Akiva Omer, get this one, ein lehem ela yom shvi'i bovat. The first one doesn't count because it's not connected with any 7 clean days, any proof of it, and therefore you have to start from day number 7 and go 8, 9, 10, right? Get up to 7 clean days starting from day number 7. V'tanya, Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbi Yossi omrim, ni'im divrei Rabbi Eliezer mi'divrei Rabbi Yoshua, v'divrei Rabbi Akiva mi'divrei kulan. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer makes more sense than Rabbi Yoshua, but really Rabbi Akiva, who says you really only have the 7th day, makes a lot more sense. I guess they don't like the first day and second day can count, and then the 5 middle days you can make up after. So, but, aval halacha ke Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, however, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, and this, on the basis of this, we're mekel when it comes to bidikot, okay, that if you just did 1 in 7, you're okay. We're gonna, there's a whole machloket about this in the Gemara also, about who we paskin like this, and this we'll get to it later. V'idach, this is what's interesting about this masechet, because it gets to all sorts of practical issues that, you know, people do, and now you can learn the logic behind them. V'idach, okay, what about the next machloket, the fourth one? Ditnan, achorei kelim shenitmu'u b'mashkin, Rabbi Eliezer omer mitamim et ha-mashkin ve'em poslin et ha-ochlin. Okay, let's go back for a minute. Mashkin, okay, if you remember, the mashke of a zav, okay, things that come out of his rok, his shechvat zera, all those things that come out of a zav are mitami. Because of that, and they're mitami like an avatuma, they're a high-level tuma. Because of that, they were gozer on mashkin. Generally, we say food and drink can only be the highest status it could be is a rishon that could be mitame a sheni or a sheni. Usually, it's usually a sheni because the kli becomes a rishon. The food in it or the drink in it becomes a sheni, and then it can only mess up truma. But they made a gzerat mashkim. If you remember, we learned this before. That mashkim, if something is there's a liquid, it can be mitame, even cause a rishon. Okay, so it can be mitame a kli. So if liquid gets on a kli, it's mitame. So let's say you have, a kli, generally a kli becomes tame on the inside and the outside, unless it's a kli cheres, but if something touches it, the whole kli, both inside and outside, becomes tame. But there's a mishnah that says, achorei kelim shenitmu'u b'mashkin. Because the whole thing of mashkin was only a gzera, like of the rabbis, they made a din that if it touches the outside of a kli, Rabbi Eliezer omer, it's mitame et ha-mashkin. So now, if that outside of a kli comes in contact with other liquids, it will be metame that. Ve'ein poslin et ha'ochlin. But it doesn't posel food, only liquids. Mitamim et ha'mashkin va'afilu chulin. Okay, what does this mean? It means even chulin, meaning even a rishon, right? If the kli becomes a rishon, it can mess up chulin because it can make it a sheni. Ve'ein poslin et ha'ochlin. What does that mean? Poslin means even truma. In other words, food that gets in here can't even become, right? Can't even mess up truma. Okay? Rabbi Yoshua Omer, and he basically says it doesn't apply to foods at all. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, metamim etamashkin uposlim etaochlin. He thinks it does mess up food also. Amar Rabbi Yoshua kavachomer, he brings a kavachomer to teach it. Matful yom sheino metamem mashke chulin. A tful yom can't mess up a mashke of chulin, because remember, a tful yom only messes up truma. A tful yom is considered a sheni. And yet, posel ochle truma charea kelim, but can mess up truma food. Ochle truma, period. Can pasel truma, and right? She can't pasel chulin, but she can pasel truma. So achorei kelim shemitame mashke chulin, if this achorei kelim is strong enough to mess up a chulin drink, eino din sheposel ochle truma, can it obviously then mess up truma food? So that's his logic. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, achorei kelim derabanan, utful yom deoraita, verabanan midoraita, lo avdin an kavachomer. You can't take a deoraita halacha and learn from it a kavachomer to a derabanan halacha. Basically, achorei kelim, he basically understands, is a whole different world on its own. The only reason why we're gozer is so you don't forget about mashkin. So it only, we're gozer that the achorei kelim can only mess up liquids. Okay? Demido oraita. Ein ocha matame kli, right? Food can't be matame kli, but ein mashkin matame kli. For rabbanan hu degazer gzera mishum mashkin dezav vezava. And therefore, mashkin dalulim lekabel tuma. Gazru b'rabbanan. And therefore, they were only gozer that this mashkin is going to mess up the kli to mess up other liquids so that you remember about the liquids of azav. But ochlim de'ein alulim l'kabal tuma lo gazru b'hu rabbanan. Okay? And therefore, we're not gozer. Okay, we'll stop here. We're going a little over, so we'll stop here and we'll pick up from here tomorrow.